Well, again, I greet you and I thank you for your presence this evening as we have met yet again at the close of another Lord's Day that we might give the joyful praise to God that He so richly deserves. I read in your hearing Ephesians, the first chapter and the first four verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I think you will concur with me if you were present for the morning hour of what a very, very fine worship period we had at that time. There were so many of our friends and neighbors that joined with us in the good singing, and those who were the children of God in being able to partake of the Lord's Supper, for us to be able to commemorate and to thank God for the death of His Son, Jesus. Do you realize how truly blessed you are? If you are a Christian, how truly blessed you are above all other people on earth. As a matter of fact, the blessed apostle declares to us that every single spiritual blessing that is to be found in Christ Jesus is ours. How could we begin to even enumerate every one of those spiritual blessings? I suggest in your hearing that every day of our lives, whatever the weather might bring, whatever the political news might bring, whatever may be our physical condition, that it ought to be a day, at least within our hearts, of great rejoicing and of great thanksgiving to God. I do not suppose, even for a moment, that I could begin to touch the hem of the garment. We're having a little interference, but that's all right. I suppose that I could not even begin to enumerate the spiritual blessings that we receive in Christ Jesus. But let me, if I may, in the few minutes that are ours, to go ahead and to mention some of those very great spiritual blessings. I know these folks are embarrassed, but they're not doing it on purpose. And I'll just ask you, can you kind of hold your hand up to your ear and blot out that side? And then in that way, maybe you will be able to listen to some of these things that we are trying to enumerate this evening. Let's begin. Let's begin where I think you would begin if someone were to ask you, well, brother or sister, why are you a Christian? What was it, what kind of motivation was it that caused you to say, I want to be a Christian? And I think that almost every one of us would say, well, because I want to be forgiven. I want to have forgiveness of sins. You know, a person does not become a Christian by accident. It takes a great deal of, oh, how shall I say it, a probing of the conscience. It takes a great deal of meditation on the part of the individual who is truly going to be converted in recognizing all of these great and true blessings that God has for us. Forgiveness of sins. How does it come about? Well, one of the things that we recognize about the blessedness of forgiveness of sins is it's God's gift for us. It is not within our capability. It's not within our power. It is not within the grasp of mankind, for instance, to do sometimes, as the psychologist says, just forgive yourself. No, we do not have that power. But there is a God on high. There is our Heavenly Father who has created us, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for that specific purpose. Do you like that passage in Acts 4 and verse 12? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is our Savior. Why, it is no wonder then that every right-thinking individual who, as they probe their life, as they look at their deeds, that would not say, you know, if I can be forgiven, what this really means is I'm just going to start life anew. And oh, what forgiveness. Though your sins be as scarlet, Isaiah said, they shall be as white as snow. Over in the book of Hebrews, we are reminded of this blessedness of the new covenant, not the old, but of the new, when it says, your sins and your iniquities, He will remember no more. Do you know that is a capability that God has? He looks at you as one of His dear children. And He says, I do not even remember your past transgressions. I have forgiven you not just a little bit. I have forgiven you totally. I have forgiven you absolutely. Slavery to sin. Slavery to sin. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 6, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Dear friends, be with me just a moment. There was one of our civic leaders in recent times that cried out words like this. Free, free, free again. And that's what we are. That's what we are. We are set free from sin. We are set free in such a real way that we realize that whenever we stand before God, our failures, they're not going to be held against us. A complete forgiveness. I suppose there have been those that have misunderstood what 1 John 1 and verse 9 has to say. But you see, as God's children, He has made provision for us so that there can be that continued forgiveness when we fail. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful God. What we have, no one in the world has. John goes ahead to describe how that the whole world lies under the power of Satan. How the whole world lies in sin. But, oh dear friends, in Christ, we've been set free. Following then, I say, if you want to know why I am a Christian, it's because I am right with God. I am right with God. If we walk in the light, you know that passage, don't you? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I want you to notice that is fellowship with God. Fellowship that we may have with our fellow man is secondary. It is a wonderful blessing, but it can only come about whenever we have fellowship with God. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Of all that I can think of, I want to be right with God. It's the only way that I can really go to bed at night and rest. It's the only way I can do that. Because I know whether I wake the next morning or whatever may happen, earthquake or flood or torrent, whatever may happen, I'm safe in the arms of my Lord. Being justified by faith. Here's a companion passage along with that line. Romans 5 and verse 1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, dear friends, it is not a peace that the world is able to give you. It does not matter how healthy you are, how prosperous you are, how many friends in this world you have, how many people like you. None of that can give you the peace of mind that being a Christian provides for you. I tell you again, even if it is repetitive, there is nothing like being a Christian. You know, the Bible uses words like elect, chosen. You read that Ephesians, the first chapter, and yes, a long, long sentence. But you read it and you realize what God is telling us. You're special. You have been chosen. You have been elected. And if someone says, oh, that must mean then it's because you've been so good, or because you've been so special, or maybe this false idea of God having elected certain ones before the foundation of the earth. And no, none of that is true. You and I heard the gospel. Each one of us has a story to tell. I'd love to sit down with brethren and ask them, how did you become a Christian? And sometimes they will say, well, you know, my mother and father taught me. And I always thought, do you realize how blessed you are to have a mother and father who were Christians, who knew the gospel, who loved you while you were growing up, loving you enough that they taught you that blessed gospel in the terms of salvation? Over the world, though, there are many, many Christians that did not grow up that way. I know some Hindus. I know some Africans. I know some people who grew up in idolatrous worship. But they heard the truth. Maybe it was someone that preached to them. Maybe it was someone that courthouse said, we want to help that man in order that he may go and proclaim the gospel in foreign lands. How did you become a Christian? Well, how blessed you are. How elect out of all of the world you are. Brother Bill, in his prayer, if I am not mistaken, mentioned how thankful we ought to be that we can pray to God. Don't take prayer for granted. Don't feel, well, I've got to pray, I forgot to pray. Prayer is a wonderful privilege. Do not worry, do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will fill your mind and heart through Christ Jesus. I can pray. I can pray. And every time I pray, whether it is many times during the day, whether it is before I'm going to undergo a serious operation, whether it is in thanksgiving for all of these blessings of God, I know one thing. My prayer is not just going up into the atmosphere unanswered, unheard. John, in his many, many blessings that he enumerates for God's people, finally in 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, now this is the confidence. You see, we talked about certainty this morning. This is something you and I can be certain of. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. The world does not have that blessing. There may be many, many people in the world who are religious. I have had so many, many people to say to me, oh, I will pray for you, or I will pray for that. And I'm always just going to say thank you. But I know who God is going to hear. He's going to hear his children. And of the blessings that God has given to you that is above all of the riches of any bank in the world is the fact that you can pray to your Father. Pray according to His will. That rules out selfish prayers. That rules out any kind of petitions to do anybody any kind of evil whatsoever. But, oh, dear brother and sister, you and I don't have to worry. Let's stop that. Let's stop that right now. Don't be anxious. We know that if we pray to our Heavenly Father concerning anything according to His will, what's our Father going to do as a blessing for us? He's going to hear. And when it says that He hears our petitions, that means in His vast store of wisdom, He is going to answer. And His answers are always right. How old are you? Well, whatever age you are, is your life worthwhile? Are you living a worthwhile life? Those who do not realize the blessings that God bestows upon Christians may fail to realize that there is really only one worthwhile way of living, and that's to be a Christian. The world has been sadly deceived. The banker, the athlete, the famous movie star, they say, oh, I've been blessed above all others. But no, they have not. Who out of all of the world has been blessed with a worthwhile life? Well, you have. And the reason why you can say that is because God's given you some work to do. And it is not work that just anybody can do. It is a work that only Christians can do. Philippians 4 and verse 3 tells us that we are fellow laborers in the kingdom of God and that our names have been recorded in the book of life. We're workers in God's vineyard. We tell others daily concerning Christ. We speak to others at work when they would do evil, when their words would be vile and filthy. We proclaim words of grace and truth that will season the hearts of men and women. And we're the only ones that can do that. Because no matter how bad this world becomes, we continue to be lights in a world of darkness, holding forth the Word of God. Have you experienced the joy of saving others? It's the greatest joy in all the world. Don't let any Christian say, oh, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a public teacher. every Christian God has fitted to be a soul saver. It may be your children, as we mentioned before. It may be your neighbor. It may be someone that you go to school with. It may be a fellow employee. It can be the stranger that you meet on the airplane. But Christians are soul savers. And that is the greatest joy in the world. When you see that individual and you hear them as they confess, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And as you watch them come up out of the waters of baptism, and you watch them become fruitful in God's kingdom, all the money in the world cannot replace the blessedness that God has given to you. I intend to go to heaven, don't you? I intend to go to heaven, don't you? After everything is said and done, I do not know how much longer God will allow me to live on earth, nor do you. But I will tell you, after everything is said and done, and after this work of laboring in God's vineyard throughout my lifetime is over, after your life is over, sunshine and rain, harvest and drought, whatever may happen, be faithful unto death. And you'll receive the crown of life. Well, God did not say that to just everybody. He said it to you. He said it to you. And heaven just goes on and on. Our citizenship is not here on earth. It really isn't. Oh, I might say I am an American or I am of some other nationality, but it matters little. Paul declares, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what will he do? Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. The point of the lesson, if you are a Christian, rejoice. Rejoice every day. We have no cause to be glum. We have no cause at all to be angry or to be cross with anybody, no matter how the world may treat us or those around us. God has chosen you. He has blessed you. Take advantage of those blessings. For those Christians that have fallen away, oh, do you realize what you've given up? Do you realize what blessings you have forsaken? And how that you need to come back into this fellowship with God. For those of you who hear the gospel every week and yet you resist it, I can only say how very foolish. Confess your faith in Christ this very hour Turn from your sins, be baptized, and receive every spiritual blessing in Christ. Brother Jeff, lead us in the good song, Won't You Come, if we can help you.